This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Cool. Welcome to the Underground. Thanks for coming out tonight. Wow, that was wonderful music. I was definitely lost in that. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about personal transformation. I want to present tonight kind of a little engine of personal transformation, and I believe it's the most powerful engine on this planet as far as life change and as far as living a functional life. And maybe this won't be a new engine for you. Maybe you've heard this kind of thing before, but hopefully it'll confirm something to your heart, what you already know, or maybe this will be brand new. This is the kind of stuff that really, really rocked my wife and I's world when we began to learn this. One of the things that we've learned here doing this kind of work, recovery work, not just me and my wife, but Journey as a whole, is that people don't usually make big changes in their lives, like real change, profound change, unless they have really good reason to do it. If someone doesn't have a really good reason, they're not going to change, not in a deep, lasting way. And so I know that for my wife and I, you know, I won't go all into it for all of you that have been here long enough, but, you know, I was raised in a home of addiction. My father taught me how to use needles, how it all worked. We used drugs as a family, part of our culture. There was a lot of sexual behavior within our own family, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of drug use, a lot of pain. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade, in and out of jail, in and out of relationships, huge broken life. And I can say this, that having a good reason to change, I can say that the greatest pain in my life, I would say, would come from, number one, not knowing who I am. Like, why am I here on this planet? Like, is it a big joke? What's the deal? Like, who am I? And number two, not being able to love people in my life that I'm supposed to love. I think looking back on my life, those were the two most severe pains that I can look at. And we hear a lot of pain in people's lives when they failed to love people in their lives that they were really called to love and they wanted to love. And to me, our number one command, you want to sum up, you know, all of our commandments, our greatest command is to love one another. That's the command. That's the mission. We're called to love each other. And so, for me, that is a good enough reason to have radical transformation in my own life and to seek after it with all my heart. So, the problem is, before I can love other people, before I can deal with you in a healthy way, I had to first deal with me, right? If I can't deal with me, if I can't deal with Stan in a real functional way, in a healthy way, I most certainly am not going to be able to deal with you and love you in a functional way. And I believe that there isn't anything on this planet that confronts this and deals with it straight to the heart more than the gospel. The gospel is straightforward. It deals with the question of identity. It deals with the question of our life's purpose, immediate and straightforward. Nothing will transform a person's life faster and greater and more profound than the gospel message. And it is a radical, radical message. I get that. I don't think most people really get how radical it is, right? I listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of different teaching, a lot of different lectures. I was listening to a guy who is not a believer, in fact, very angry at people who are believers. He's no dummy. And he was saying, on his big rant, he was saying, do you guys get these Christians? Like, these guys must be idiots. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, these guys believe that this guy came to this planet, was born of a virgin. He goes, they believe this. They believe he walked on water. They believe he walked on water. This is what he's saying. They believe that he walked around healing people to demonstrate he was who he said he was. He said he was going to die and be raised on the third day. They believe he did that very thing, that he died and was raised on the third day. And these guys actually believe that by putting their faith in him, by joining his clan, by joining his family, they too become what he is, sons and daughters of God. And he goes, can you believe that they believe that? And I was like, you know what? That guy's angry. That guy's mad. But he gets it. I have heard very few Christians say that kind of stuff about how radical it is, what it is that we've actually put our faith in by putting our faith in the gospel message, getting a brand new identity, and the impact that makes becoming a son of God by his grace. That's radical, guys. Isn't that radical? I think that's radical. You know, one of the things that the scripture talks about, and this is a religious term, I try to avoid those, but it talks about repentance. Let me show you this. So your understanding of repentance, like, and I'm not talking about just behavior here. I'm talking about the way you think about yourself, the way you see yourself with God, the way you see yourself as a person, your worth as a person, right? How loved you are, what it's going to take to be loved, what it's going to take to be significant on this planet. All those ways you see yourself. You know, you're going this way, just like I was going this way for most of my life. You know, your understanding of repentance as a group, what direction, if I repent, what direction should that arrow go? Anybody? The opposite. Okay, so you guys are saying that for me to repent, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm talking about a radical different way of thinking. Not just now I'm doing religious things, I'm going to church, reading my Bible, saying religious things. I'm talking about a radical transformation, a radical new way of seeing me. All the old ways of seeing Stan Bourne are that different. All the old ways of seeing my relationship with God, right? All of it changes so radically that now this arrow is going this way. What we normally see in this business we're in is this is kind of the repentance we see. We see that, right? You know, well, I'm not doing drugs, or, you know, I'm not hanging out with them, or, you know, this is kind of how it goes, and then pretty soon it's, well, it doesn't really work, right? It doesn't really work. And that's not a condemning thing. I'm just pointing out something that we see a lot. And the call of what we're talking about when we believe the gospel, it's intense stuff, guys. I don't know about you, but for me, walking the way I walk, living the way I live, dragging these, you know, bent up needles out of the garbage can, unbending them and reusing them while shaking, like this is the way I lived for so long. The things that I was willing to do, such an intense, broken life, super intense, broken life. Even my drug addict friends would run from me because, you know, I just repelled them. It was such good news to me to hear that God actually liked me, to find out God likes me. He's kind of into me. Isn't that crazy? Did you guys know the term good news actually comes from, it's really around the activity of royalty. It's about when kings go to war, and the good news they wait for is, guess what? Good news. Our king is still king. He won. Like, we won. That's the kind of good news. That's where that term comes from, is good news is about royalty and the activities that they're involved in. And we have some really good news. I found it amazing to me to not only find out that God likes me, but to find out that he thinks about me. That God actually thinks about Stan. Right? I mean, you ever just walk out from under the stars and go, you're thinking about me, like tons, right? Sands on the shore, right? Like, he's thinking about me. But really let that hit home. That was really good news to me. That felt really, really good to find that out. A lot of people we talk to find a lot of comfort in finding out that God not only likes them, thinks about them, but that he's making plans. He makes plans for me. Like, God's planning for me. Talk about someone having your back. That was really great for me to find that out. Like, really? He's thinking of me. He likes me. He's into me. He's planning for me. You know, the other day I sat down in my living room and I was just talking to him about, like, wow, what do you got planned? What are you planning for me? And you're planning for me? I wonder what that is. What do you got? Not just in this world, in the world to come. I know you got big plans. I know we got big plans. I'm all in there. And it's real good. It's awesome. It was also good news for me to find out that God not only likes me, thinks about me, plans for me, but that he is for me. He's for me. What does that do for your heart to know God is for you? Right? This is the scripture. This is the gospel message. This is what we're finding out. This is that radical change of, you know, you better get it together. Right? I remember I was speaking somewhere. There was a strong native presence there, and I was saying, you know, if God could talk audibly to you, not right now, what is it you think he would be telling you? And this was at the end of one of my big love messages, you know. And this lady goes, he would say, you better get it together. You know, and I was like, kind of broke the mood there. I was cracking up. It was really wonderful to find out to me that I could get all my needs met as a person from God, every single one of them, and that I myself, as this person standing here, could become, in myself, standing right here, a sacred space, that I myself, in my walking, breathing, moving, talking, sacred space, where me and God meet. This is where we live. We live here together. I think that religion is more concerned with what this body does, where God is more concerned with me knowing in my heart what this body is. I mean, it's a temple. It's where me and him live. It is a divine place. That's beautiful, right? Isn't that beautiful? The book of Peter says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word. Right? I did a whole thing on milk before, you know. I won't go into all that. But we're to desire the milk of the word. And this is kind of where we go into this thing. This is God, right? Represents God. And then here's me, self, right here. First three steps of the 12 steps. Steps 1 through 3. Blammo. Establishing my relationship with God. Right there. That's Stan drinking milk, right? What happens when a little baby drinks milk? Boom, right? He begins to grow. You know, this milk is so vital for me to have a functional relationship. Super important stuff, right? What is that? Stan knows I'm an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth. Awesome spirit. I have a mighty spirit within me that God has made within me, and that I am loved. I'm totally embraced and accepted, totally forgiven, totally. I'm a forgiven man tonight, totally, right? And I'm super important because I'm God's kid. I am set apart. I'm set apart for God's use. God set me apart for his use. See, I'm saying this so that you will see what it's like for someone to experience what it means to believe the gospel and the transformation that happens in someone's life. Let me put this up here and just show you this. Let's just say this is God, okay? Let's just say, okay? Let's just say that that's what he looks like, that's God. Let's just say, right? And so for me, the scripture tells me that when I put my faith in him, I do my steps 1 through 3, turn my life to him, turn to him. He gives me a free gift. Nothing freer on this planet than the gospel. Absolutely free. God is love. And what happens to me? What did Jesus say? You know, you must be what? What happens? Born again. Another religious term. I love that term. I'm born again. So if I'm born, who am I born of? I'm born of God, right? So let's just say, look at this, guys. Look what you look like. You're born of God. Look what you're shaped like. Look who you resemble. Look at your new nature. Look at your mind-blowing potential. Boom! This is a spiritual awakening. This isn't a religious thing. This is a spiritual awakening when you have this absolutely profound, right? You know, and to put it even clearer, you know, and to say this, like, if God is this color too, you know, if he's this color, that's the same color you are. But this is more accurate. Here you are. Check you out. Be right here. That's to be more accurate. He has fused himself to you. You have fused yourself to him. Is that crazy? Look at who you're part of. Someone said the other day, if you are part of the ocean, would you be afraid of the waves? Right? I kind of get that sense and that feeling when I realize I'm a member of his body. Like, I'm profoundly connected to him. Vine and branch, head and body, husband and wife. This is the union message, foundation and building, right? And this guy here lives. Where does this guy live? In a body. Right here. That's where he's living. That's where this guy's living. I am truly a walking, breathing temple, a miracle. And you hear this term, you know, more of you, less of me. Eh, I get it. Less of the selfish me, right? But really, the more of him, the more I'm me. Can't really separate us. That's not his plan. His plan wasn't more of him and less of me, where I'm just nothing. His plan was to ignite the world with the sons and daughters of God, using our own creativity, our own brains, our own ideas. And he's like, yeah, I'm living through you. I'm just lighting you up, right? The more of him, the more I'm me. True. I've never been more me when I've given myself fully over to him. And again, it's not that I get more of God. It's that he gets more of me. Super awesome stuff, man. But when we're born again, it's just like when we were born the first time, right? Little baby born, you don't know who your dad is. You don't know where you come from. You don't know where you're going. A lot of stuff you don't know. They say when someone becomes a Christian, they should like lock them up for the first couple years because they're running around annoying everybody, right? The same kind of thing. That's why when you first get born again, what you need more than anything else, you need to be drinking this milk. All this stuff I'm telling you. You know, you don't need to be hearing about how you need to go save the world. You need to be drinking milk. You need to be basking in the love of God, imprinting on God. Boom. Just downloading that stuff, right? Just letting that stuff happen to you. It's profound. So this is a powerful bond that bonds this union relationship. And this is where you spend that quiet time that's so hard to do. You know, you spend that time with God, and that's why I use music and I use all these crazy things to really, really fuse myself to this truth. You know, the Bible talks about in Genesis this amazing picture. I mean, these are profound things of the Spirit hovering over the waters, right? And it's like this picture. Most of you guys know this, but it's like a picture of a hen. It's like that's the term of like a bird, like a hen hovering over its eggs, right? Vibrating life into those eggs. That's the picture we have in Genesis in the creation account of the Spirit hovering over the waters, over this planet of chaos and mess, formlessness. And here's the Spirit, like this big bird hovering over the earth, vibrating what? Energy, life, vitality, right? Anytime you see an insect walking, where does it get that life from? That vibrating, that essence, that powerful spirit. That is the same spirit, guys, that lives in you. That is the same exact spirit that lives in you. We're talking about an indestructible life. It's interesting because at Jesus' baptism, he goes down into the water, and he comes up, what do we see? The spirit comes down like what? We see, once again, a bird over the water. Life. It's powerful stuff. New Testament's full of Old Testament imagery saying, this is that. This is that in my new way. Pretty amazing. But see, God wants to do this together with me. And this is where my recovery comes in strong. Like, I need this connection. I need this bond. I need to know who I am. You know, every morning I wake up and say, okay, first of all, who am I? Tell me who I am, right? Talk to me about who I am. And then I get my orders of what does he want me to do, right? But we have some work to do, and God wants to do it with me. We're talking about divine roommates, right? I think I talked about this Christmas Eve. Like, you ever have a best friend, and then you become roommates, right? And there's a rub there, right? You share a space. The same kind of thing when we're sharing some close quarters here. So there's going to be some conflict. I don't always get along with my divine roommate, right? But what if your roommate was super, super wealthy, right? What if your roommate was in position of extreme high power and authority? What if your roommate was absolutely crazy about you, loved you dearly, deeply, and intelligently, knew what was best, right? This is the situation that we're in here. You would think that if I wanted to make some life change, God, I want to quit doing drugs. God, I want to quit thinking this way. I want to quit blowing my top. You'd think you go to this divine roommate with all this position and power, he'd just snap his fingers and change is made, right? That would not be love, and that's not what he's here to do. And we see this picture in Genesis of a garden where God puts us in it, and then what? Right? Go rule it. Go order it. Go for it. Like, I'm letting you loose. It's going to be me and you doing this. We're doing this together. Right? God could do it all by himself. That's not what the dream is. His dream is together. We're doing this together. So he paints a picture in the scripture of a garden of barren fruit, right? I was listening to a guy tell me about growing a garden, and he was telling me about the dirt and him working that dirt, chopping it all up, busting it all up. He told me more than I wanted to know about a garden. And he's talking about getting the rocks out, finally getting to that place where he's throwing the seeds out, seeding that whole plot. It was pretty interesting. And then he said, then the real trouble starts. That stuff starts growing. And then you got some stuff happening. You got bugs, all kind of weird bugs, predators. You got to build a little fence. You got to weed the thing. Now you got all this weird stuff happening. He says, it actually becomes quite a dangerous place. You know, he's telling me about it. But see, even if you went through all that work and you were holding a tomato from your own garden, could you honestly say you grew that tomato? No. I mean, I can't grow a tomato, right? I can definitely create an atmosphere that gives God the space for him to do the miracle, for him to grow that fruit or that vegetable and make it happen. Now, I asked him, what would happen if you threw those seeds out and then you just came back in 6 months? You didn't do any work in it. And he just said it'd be a giant mess, right? Probably get bit by some animal that was hanging out there, right? Bit by a snake, whatever. And so he wants me to do some work. And this is that set of defects of character, shortcomings, wrongs, right, that I have in my life. And we talk about this in our recovery stuff. By the way, Wednesday night, we're up here at 7 o'clock, kind of more in the circle. It's more of a recovery group, process group. We get to talk more about our own personal lives up there and what's going on. We talked about this somewhat the other day up there. It was fun. I think someone was throwing something at me. I'm not sure. It's a little more street up there, so if you come out, you're welcome to come out. But we did talk about this as we let God take this space and grow in his character and his nature. These negatives will become these powerful positives. Or you can help other people in this place. Hopefully, similar to what my wife and I are doing in this area of drugs and these problems with addiction. So, all this stuff that God has done for me, made me his beloved son, calls me his own, just loves on me unconditionally. Guess what? That's only half of what it means to be a Christian. That's only half of the message. Because what God tells us now after this kind of takes us back on our heels, what he tells us. He tells us this is the kind of thing he says, right? He says, Stan, why do you say you love me and you hate your brother? Right? And that kind of takes me back. And he begins to show me and tell me that my relationship with him is mirrored in my relationship with other people. And he brings this whole other part of it. I'm going to put this line here, my relationship with others. This is steps 1 through 3, 4 through 7 are right here, and then 8 through 12 are going this direction. And he shows me, like in every New Testament book, there's a major one another passage where he calls us to love one another. And he tells me that the way I love him is the way I love other people. That's huge. That's difficult. Like, I'm like, whoa, I don't like that part. I thought we were doing this cozy apartment thing together. This was fun, right? I'm dancing with God, me and you, right? We're loving on each other. That was great. This other thing you brought in, you know, that's not so great. But you get it because, you know, let's just say that, you know, I wanted to be friends with Donine, right? Let's just say. And I said, Donine, I want to be friends with you. I want to be close to you. But I hate your kids. I want nothing to do with them. Right? You know, that would be a problem, right? If I want to bless you, but not them. Right? Now I'm going to run into a problem, right? Same with you guys, right? You know, I love you. I hate the rest of your family. Forget them. Just me and you. You'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You love me? You got to love them. You know, God feels the same way. And he feels very strongly about this. So this is the milk of the word right here that we need every day. Milk. Boom, I need this. And this is what is called the meat of the word. This is the big boy stuff. This is what we're all working on. The meat of the word is all that God's going to do through your life to love other people. It's called your relational ministry. When you love other people in the same way he's loves you. All right, a few more lines of notes here, guys. And here's where we introduce my little engine that I love so much. An engine that I live by. And this engine of personal transformation is like a flower just opening up. It's beautiful in our lives. The first part of this engine I've already told you about is faith, right? Faith in my new identity, knowing who I am, going back to this place. Faith in my new identity gives me a firm footing under my feet, foundation. Because if I don't know who I am and I'm not okay, you put me in stress, you put me in a situation where I'm hurt and I'm injured, my needs are going to be screaming louder than my love for you. And I need to deal with that. If I don't, I'm going to be in trouble. I'll tell you guys really quick. I told you this before, but, you know, I was a manager at Fred Meyer for a while. I used to work over there. And I was a closing manager. I thought I was a good manager. Maybe I wasn't. But you know, one of the managers from one of the stores brought me over to his store, right? Said, I want Stan to come be my closing manager. I was like, wow, that's a real compliment. You know, I'm going to go over there and help this guy out. So I moved over to, I think it was the West Side, and I became the closing manager of the West Fred Meyer. And I stepped in there. My first day, I was introduced to the staff and people we were working with. I put on my little red vest, right? Probably about half an hour before I started my first shift, one of my buddies worked there, and he pulled me aside. And said, Stan, I got to tell you this, dude. And he's my real friend, like a good friend of mine. He says, they had a meeting up there. They're laughing at you. This guy that pulled you over, he told everybody up there that the reason he pulled you over is you're like the biggest joke in the retail business. And he pulled you over here for like entertainment value. Like watch this idiot work. And he said, I just want you to know what this guy's up there saying. He thinks you're a joke. And they're just going to kind of run you out of this business. How do you think I felt, guys? Right? That's a true story. I was hurt. I'm standing there with my red vest. I'd come a long way with God. And one of the reasons I celebrated that job is I went from a place where I couldn't even handle $10 in my hand without me making a journey to find a crack rock for $10, no matter what the distance was, no matter who I had to go through, no matter what I had to do, risk my life. And here I'm counting thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars cash every night. And I'm learning how to work with people. I'm getting training on working with thousands of people. I knew God was doing something in me important. And he was trusting me with something that meant a lot to me. Like, God, I know this isn't the deal, but you're trusting me with something enormous. Thank you. And I saw it for what it was. This is a big deal. This is big stuff. I had a lot of decisions to make. So here I am standing in the back room, feeling like this is the pinnacle of my career. They're requesting my services. And now here I am, come to close this store down and be the expert by request, right? This guy was like the number one store manager in the company. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing this from a really good friend of mine. They're up there right now laughing at you. You're an idiot. That really hurt. So here we go. Here's my engine. Am I going to use it or not? Does it work or not? Right? Here we go. Here's my little bad boy engine. Right? Faith in my new identity. Whenever I get hurt or disappointed, whenever my wife is hurt or disappointed, you know, I have to go into this thing dealing with strong emotions. Hey, that's the stuff, right? What am I going to do? Now, the whole thing about recovery is I need to go into self-care. What would self-care look like? Right? You had a really bad day at work. You're really stressed out. People hurting your feelings. People all up in your grill. What does self-care look like? Where you win, your family wins, your community wins, your church wins out of that self-care. What is that? Right? What did I do my whole life with those situations? Right? I wanted to tear that vest off, throw it in their face, kick the guy in the mug, go running out. I knew I was a loser. Right? No. This has been me and God. This has been me and God walking this out. Me and my roommate. That's me and him. And I'm not budging because you brought me here. You led me here. You've done this mighty work. And I'm staying right here with you. And we're going to figure this out. Right? And I went marching off into the bathroom. And I said all those things that I say. I'm an awesome spirit being. God has brought you here, Stan. That guy upstairs thinks he brought you here for his little agenda. God has brought you here, Stan, for his agenda. Now you stand in it, dude. Don't you budge. Because you are a man of God. Don't you budge, Stan. That was powerful. What was that? Faith. That was mind-bending faith for me. And I just felt my whole chemistry change. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm actually in the big leagues here. I'm rising above all you dudes. Right? I'm going into the big office. And I'm saying, Father. Wow. When you exercise faith, something profound happens, guys. There's a hope. There's a synonym in the scripture called joy, and that is, you know, joy unspeakable, full of glory, has nothing to do with circumstances, an inner joy that knows Stanborn can't lose. Stanborn's a son. I know where I'm going, right? You want to kill me? Go ahead. Look at where I'm going to go. Kill my body. Ouch, ouch. You're killing my body. Ouch, ouch. Check me out. Look where I'm going. I'm going to go up. I'm going to be with God. Let me live. Then I'm going to house God. He's going to take up more space. Who's in the bind, right? Powerful stuff. Exercising faith in my true identity gives me a hope unbelievably profound, giving me the ability to go out there on that sales floor. Hi, my name's Stan. How can I help you? Find everything you need? Awesome stuff. Radical transformation. Boom, boom, boom. Pow. Watch it happen one situation after a time, one after another, after another, after another. Now, I'll tell you this, and there's a lot to say about the self-care, because there's a difference between self-care and self-indulgence. I can go home and watch Netflix and go, God's telling me I need a downtime, watch a movie, and then I can go into indulgence where now I'm just numbing out and I'm hiding. Now nobody's winning. This isn't love, right? And so we talk a lot about that in recovery, about true self-care. Guys, I can't trim my nails without me being aware of this is self-care, saying you're loved. How many people on this planet have fingernail clippers, really? Right? And I look around and go, I'm in a bathroom with two different sources of water. Most people don't have one. I'm living in a house with like five different access points of water. The whole world, most of the world has none, zero water. I've got it all around me. I've got it leaking out of some of them. Right? My feet are warm and cozy on carpet. I got a dog to feed. Wow. Self-care. I can't get dressed. I put my socks on with the mentality of I'm so loved by God. I mean, I get dressed with that mentality. Everything I do is in the area of self-care because it's super important. Self-care is huge. So without this quality of love, faith in knowing who you are and your worth, knowing you're secure, knowing you're significant, giving you that hope and the ability to love, can you still have relationships without it? Yes. But what kind of relationships? What's the quality going to be? It's going to be the quality of the relationship between a tick and a dog. Right? Do they have an intimate relationship? Yes. They are intimately connected. Is it a healthy relationship? No. Right? And I'll tell you, I could have went out on that sales floor and done the tick and a dog thing. I'm going to prove to him that I'm a good manager and ran around annoying everybody, rallying the forces, you know, double time. But who would that have been about? Me trying to get something God's telling me you already got. I'd rather you listen to me tell you what to do and you love people than you be on this manic search for worth. Right? Super huge. Super huge. Most relationships we see aren't even as good as a tick and a dog. Most relationships are two ticks, no dog. Right? Two ticks desperately trying to get their needs met. That's why the divorce rate's like what, 60% now? Why? You know, I love the way you love me. And then they're saying the same thing. There's nothing there. It doesn't work. Super profound stuff. When my wife and I got married, the idea is The idea is that it is one adult marrying another adult that is fully responsible for how I do self-care, how I manage my feelings when they're hurt, what I do in my time when she's not there, when I don't get my way. I am 100% responsible for what I do and how I act, all of it. She didn't vow to become my dad or my mom to mend all my wounds and meet all my needs. It's not how it works, right? Two people operating this way, powerful. Powerful stuff. They can be led by God. Okay, so my last little point here is, this is one of my wife's shirts here. You guys probably wonder why I have that hanging there. And in this shirt, this represents all of her old ways, her biking, running around on her Harley, having all these dysfunctional relationships, doing all these shameful things. You know, she has a lot of memories in there, getting arrested, right? Probably some pretty strong whiskey on that shirt. You know, a lot of different kinds of smoke, a lot of brokenness, a lot of tears, a lot of garbage. A lot of her seeking, getting her needs met out there in the world, right? When she sees that shirt, that's filled with memories of cops and anger and people and manipulation and all this garbage, right? But then, she had a spiritual awakening. The core of that awakening was, I'm God's daughter, which means I'm royalty. I'm something else. Like, I got it. All this stuff I've been chasing is now mine. And she got that new shirt over there. See that other shirt? And in that shirt, she's got new memories. Small groups here at Journey. Over there meeting with Dave and Flory, working out stuff. Learning stuff in her Bible. Great times of worship. Great times of prayer. Connecting and serving others. Loving other people. Right? There might be some coffee stains on there from her making all the coffee back there. Serving people. Loving people. Exercising faith. But you know what? You hurt her feelings really bad. And guess what? You disappoint her. She takes a hit. Guess what she's tempted to do? She's tempted to go back to that shirt. Put that thing back on. I have the same kind of shirts. I don't know if you do. I'm super tempted to do that at times. That's why we need a group. We need each other. Because no matter how far we get, like, I'm not beyond temptation, right? She's not beyond temptation. We need each other. We need to encourage one another about who we really are. And we need to get that new identity, like, down into the core, into the deepest vault. Down into the vault, right? It's like those planes that fly to Seattle. They're all on, like, autopilot. And that guy can manually change course. As soon as he lets go, though, it goes right back. That thing's going to Seattle, right? Same thing. When I'm hurt, when I'm afraid, when I'm stressed, when I'm busted, I have an autopilot that goes to that shirt. And we need to work this down into our lives, see these things, spend time meditating on it, thinking on it, working this out in situations to where my new autopilot, and I believe her new autopilot is right there. I do. I really believe that. I've seen it enough. And that's powerful. That's down here in this vault, this subconscious mind, or what the Bible calls the heart. Her default position is, I'm loved. She knows who she is. So this engine, I hope you guys like this little engine. Powerful little engine, man, I'm telling you. Don't discount it. Will turn you from a self-centered taker to a supernatural lover. God wants us to be able to love even under serious distress. To still be able to love people. That's the whole thing. That's what we're doing in here. That's what my roommate's doing. That's what we're about. We're about love. Thank you, guys.